Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
So tonight, we're going to work on a... Well, I don't know whether to call it a state or a tool, or maybe it's just a fact we're going to work on tonight that it gets ignored. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think what we're going to talk about tonight is something that is obviously true, but denied. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're all here, not for magical things. I mean, a miracle is not magical, right? That's why the title was cleverly chosen, because in the world it's magical. But the truth is, no. We're returning to the truth. That's what a miracle does. From hurting to healing. That's it. From material to truth. Back to spiritual. We're denying the truth, turns out, in order to be in the separate existence. In order to continue living in a separate body, not connected to source, not connected to other. Actually, this is a wonderful execution of alone. It's you inside your skin. And you're trying to hold the blood in the water as best you can. So that you can live? You did it! You got your separate existence going. You got your whole separate identity going. You got the alone game on. Ah! Congratulations. The Course would have no problem with the separate existence that you've made. After all, it says you are. You know what it says you are, right? It says you are extension of God. You're the child of God. Therefore, you're a creator. Therefore, whatever you want to do, you do, and that's all good. What? You're an extension of God. It's all good. It says, but the only mistake is that you have cleverly adopted and idolized the idea that this is you! This is your identity! And it's all of you! That this separate bag of water is all of you! That's why it's a spiritual journey. Away from a physical addiction. I think we're all here because we would like to get... I feel the truth when I read this. I mean, it just is like a bright light. And I see, help me see. So tonight, what I want you to look at is what's been denied in order for you to be so successful as a separate and alone struggling body in time and space on a ball that's moving at this moment 60,000 miles per hour around a bigger ball full of heat. Keep this ball not too hot, not too cold. What? This is all this balance of separation. That's what you've done. And part and parcel is you have successfully found a way to disconnect.
The universal delusion.
Yes. It's a delusion. Our word tonight is connection. Let's just think about that a little bit. The Course in Miracles boldly says, and it's so personal, it says, isn't it easier for you, I mean really, to say, I hate than it is to say, I love? Isn't it easier to say, I hate? Disconnection. So if we're to turn the tide, if we're to reverse all this separation, all this dedication to successfully being alone. You might call it connection. What does that mean? When two things are connected, what makes a successful connection? How about a dictionary definition? What does that mean? Two things connected.
It means you're not separated.
Okay.
You're like a unit. You're flowing together. You're working together. There's no bouncing off each other. No arguments.
Uh-huh.
You're like one unit.
One.
You know?
It's like one.
As one.
Yeah, like one with all one. Things. It's the,
as one, really connected. Cool. Firmly fitting together.
Yeah.
Holding together.
Yeah.
Complementary.
Yeah. What makes a connection that's made stay?
Makes it stay?
Yeah.
Mutual benefit?
Well, complementariness is one. Yeah.
The yin and receiving.
The yin and the yang, right?
You know, yeah. You give and receive. You.
There's a giving and a receiving that's fits. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Vulnerability.
What?
Vulnerability. Defenselessness.
A defenselessness.
Honesty.
Yeah, a non-rejection.
Yeah.
Whatever the opposite is of rejection.
Attraction.
An attraction. There's an affinity.
A meaning. And it's a human nature. I mean, if we're talking about people, then it's a basic...
It's like brotherly love. It's
in our DNA, too. I mean, that's...
It's kind of a draw, huh? There's a natural
it's
in our
natural,
DNA. There's a
feels good.
There's a fundamental need to connect.
What's that?
Being able to feel how the other person is feeling, or
yeah, essential empathy.
Be able to put yourself in their shoes. So
you recognize the other, and the other recognizes you. You have these similarities that are core in how you are. So is the other. Whether it's complementary or similar, they still work together. Connection. What's connection? Can you have a connection at a distance?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that like? Wow, how does that work?
Quantum non-locals.
Quantum entanglement? How far can you go?
Spooky action.
Skype. I was thinking that connection involves love.
Okay.
To me, that's one of the basics. There's many kinds of love. And the second thing that came up was acceptance. That a connection involves means there's a certain level of acceptance, which means there's been a forgiveness, because you're not, if there's really a connection, you're not judging, because judging pushes away.
Yeah.
So an acceptance, you've forgiven whatever flaws are in the other, and so there's connection. And then the third component for me was communication.
Because
you can have love and you can have acceptance, but without something more dynamic to maintain it, because you brought that question in, what makes connection stay?
What is it makes it stay?
And so to me, that
interface.
Communication.
Think about communication for a minute. Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. What essentially is happening with communication? Successful communication. It's a softball for anybody who's been here before we talked about communication. What's happening with communication?
It's communication.
What?
Giving and receiving.
Giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. And giving back what you received so the other person knows you received it, and the other person says, yeah, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You give it back in your words of what you heard them say in their words, and they say, yeah, I know you, and that's what it means to you, and that's right, it's exactly what I mean. You've been there. Everybody's been there. And that's this beautiful communication. This connection gets deeper. sometimes in a special relationship, it sounds like an argument.
And I was just going to say, there's still, you can also have a connection that's negative.
Right?
You're still somehow bound. But it doesn't necessarily have to be yummy and juicy. And,
that's right.
You know, it can be negative. It can be friction, and yet still there's this connection. It's like a child.
Codependent.
A child will take a negative marriage over, what was that?
I said codependent. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, a child will take a negative reaction over mm-hmm. no reaction.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they want the connection.
What is it?
Dogs are the same.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, if you're still yelling at me, I know you care.
Yeah. You walk away, that's stuff.
When you walk away, pay for a dog training.
Then there's no connection.
Worst thing you can do is go.
Just turn your back.
Yeah.
I think it's listening for understanding instead of responding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for understanding.
And evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those things you definitely need to continue it.
What?
Those things you definitely need to continue it.
Yeah.
If you're going to stay connected, mm-hmm. they change, you change, you know how they change. Uh-huh, uh-huh. A little dynamic there. Driven by the acceptance or tolerance or interest or devotion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So what makes two things naturally connect or drawn together? What might assure a connection? What kind of qualities make so that things will...
I don't know, they say opposites attract.
Shared interests or common goals.
Yep. Something shared.
Right, touching somehow.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Or recognition.
Uh-huh.
I think even opposites attract is still a recognition that there's some kind of like... energy. It's an identifying, recognizing, oh.
And it's often, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the guts, the money, the height, the whatever, the opposite.
Right. That's true.
They kind of attract in this desire.
Well, you can feel it. If you ever get that really natural connection with somebody, there's something that, like, connects. You can kind of, like, feel it. And I think it's like, to me, it's a recognition. It's a familiarity. It's something. So the ego can say this is from before, but something else communicates.
Yes.
It's quite mysterious.
Yes, yes.
It's like you kind of already know the person.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's kind of feeling like there's some kind of kinship going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of mysterious familiarity that you're recognizing. And it's kind of a little magnetism occurring. You're drawing together on this similarity.
There's a vibration, too, I think, that you recognize.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Legos. You could take Legos made in 2017 and a Lego made in 1957, and they stick together. Pop! Mm-hmm. You could stack them up there from there, never seen each other, but they both, they connect because they were designed for the same function. Without any requirement of what you make with your Lego set, the Legos will cooperate and snap together and stay that way until you decide to disconnect. Simple, simple interface of a giving and receiving, the cup and the post, naturally fit. And stay. Huh. Julie, what does it mean?
That's what you get.
Can I set my things down there?
Something's connected. You know, things connect. That's our word tonight, is connection. Well, you know, what does it mean that two things will connect, okay? They do connect, and what kind of attributes make it so that they can stay connected without a huge bunch of perverse, chaotic effort?
Yeah.
Compatibility.
Compatibility. Uh-huh. A giving and receiving. A tolerance for the other. Even though there are differences, but I accept that. I want that.
It's a will to do it.
There's a will.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's been my experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a will to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a will to do it. Now, how interesting when you don't understand the will, but you got it. You know it, but you don't get it. It's a mysterious draw or a pull where you recognize this is for me. I will to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Because something mysterious is calling me. It's deep. How wonderful is that? Yeah, what do you got?
It's not a word, but with my hospice patients, you know, you walk in and you don't even know them, but it's a letting go of yourself, making presence and for them, like being present for them.
Oh, yeah. Julie, what happens? You go in there. It's a whole different life, somebody in you, or with any other situation, and then you connect. Mm-hmm. Like with your patient you told us about before, where you simply bring up a few of the details of the story she's told before.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter's name, the daughter's job. The wonderful thing is that you know this patient just loves. What happens when the room is filled with the two-ness? It becomes shared. What happens after you connect? What's different? What do you get?
Joy.
There's some joy?
Joy.
There's some joy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, why do it? Joy!
Yeah.
I like that. What else do you get with connection, see, which is no longer alone?
There's something in the familiarity that you were talking about that makes us want to stay in that connection to kind of experience that.
To experience the familiarity.
Yeah. That's kind of what struck me. For me, that's sometimes what it is. There's a spark of familiarity that want to explore together.
Like coming home.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like oneness. It's like oneness in action. Like it's like experiencing that oneness here in this physical way. You know, like it's like we're trying to, I think on some level, to think about this deeply, it's like you're breaking through the physical a little bit and moving past that a little bit and trying to do so more and more as we, like you're describing that Julie's experience, it's like coming here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like once you come to this room and you see all these faces, it's like this veil kind of drops a little bit, and it's great.
Yeah.
And we're all coming back, and we all.
Yeah.
So there's like a seeking for oneness.
To
experience oneness.
To experience the oneness.
The connection.
The connection. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To come home, to experience that familiarity, that happens to be my desired, my willed next step. What this book is pointing to is it's very patient, all these words. It's very patient with me. But it really is directly saying, you've got to get off yourself. You've got to come in from the cold. I mean, I know you don't like the cold. You know it says that on page 272? It says, you who are miserable must first recognize... No, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable. He knows. He knows. Come home. Come home. You'll dig it.
Well, it's very interesting myself. The idea that if I have my identity as like this little sphere, this is me.
Uh-huh.
And then you get the message or communication that, hey, that's not, you're kind of bigger than that. And you see how people change. I know myself, I can be like really independent. See an old friend, and it looks like I'm a different person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like I forget about my old identity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now we're sharing a space where before I'd been like this.
Yes.
And all of a sudden,
yes,
it's different.
Yes. And you ever help somebody move, and you go to their house, and you're kind of bumbling around. You know, you're kind of waiting for the pizza to come at noon, but I'm here too to help. Right. And say, hey, could you help me move this table? Yeah! Now, the connection, you're drawing together on a common purpose. Mm-hmm. Get the table into the back of the van. You 1, 2, 3, you're on 3? Okay. We know what that. Here we go. We're connected, moving together, tipping, turning, watching the furniture. We're working together to move this table successfully. We're all minds on the same thing. You do this half, I'll do the other half. And then together as one. We've joined on a oneness there for a few minutes. It's kind of nice, isn't it?
I think what's different when you're connected, that was the question,
yep,
is, for me, you are actually experiencing the as you give, you receive.
Ooh.
And so, like, and I'm thinking, like, just hearing you tell that story about moving, I'm thinking about, like, originally, I was thinking about like really like loving like connections, you know, like with patients or family.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned that like moving example, and I thought of like even in times of stress, like this coworker couldn't be in the office, and she was responsible for sending out, you know, 37 hiring letters, and like an equal number of decline letters. None of us had ever done this process and mail merge letters, and it was so stressful. But three of us came together to do the job that that one person would usually do, which is also kind of ironic. But you know, and it was like I felt so alive after that. It was like this stressful afternoon. We finished it exactly like 5:05, and you know, but it was like, wow, that really just showed how we came together and like supported each other and all that.
What did you get from coming together that you couldn't do alone?
What's a feeling?
What did you get? She got 3,700 mail merges out.
Well, isn't it like, it's like a release. And I, you said a couple things tonight, Stephanie, that really rang true for me. That affinity for another, on a level of human being, the affinity for another human being.
Yeah.
And the moment connection is truly expressed,
yeah,
you feel so gotten by that other person.
Yeah.
With no judgment or anything. And when you get to that space, then it's like you disappear.
Yeah, you forget yourself.
You disappear.
Hello?
You said the same thing.
Forget yourself.
When you have even a group endeavor that's non-spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody all of a sudden, I mean, some people would say that's an expression of team.
Yes.
But you disappear. Mm-hmm. You are no longer preoccupied with your way of doing things.
Yes.
Or right or wrong. It's like you are so committed to the group thing or that other person in the space of like non-judgment and acceptance and affinity and things like that.
Yeah, the ego takes a back seat, even disappears for a while.
Now I'm thinking about my band, and you can't do it alone.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. How about that?
Yeah.
You've got to connect up and syncopate.
And practice and be committed.
Committed, care.
Communicate.
Mm-hmm. Work with the other people.
Yeah, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it alone.
Timing fudges. You fudge your timing a little bit too. Make it work
it's
best you
symphony.
Can. You don't break out and stop the music. And
it's like a symphony.
Uh-huh.
You can't do it with one.
Yeah, it happens with all the parts together.
And
it's singular.
Another thing we pretend all the time is that we're not all, every human being on this planet, already connected.
Yep.
We, you know, we play this spiritual seeking game, like, how am I going to get there?
Yep.
When fundamentally, it's already there.
We're so good at not being whole. Yes.
Moments where you have the experience of, and when I have those moments, it's like,
Yes.
God, I had one. When did I have one? I had one. Oh, I went up to the. Someone told me about the land of the medicine. Uh-huh. Up there. So I went up there with my dog over the weekend, and we walked the big prayer thing for a while. And you know, there's a number of sayings and a mantra you can chant, and you know, and have compassion for other human beings. And I just got present to having compassion for myself. It took like a minute and a half of just a little bit of working a mantra and walking a thing, and I got so present to some compassion for myself that, you know, for the next 10 minutes all I could do was cry because I had that experience of like, wow, now I'm home. Mm-hmm. And for me, when it really, when that connection really, really settles in and I disappear, it's like that thing I've craved my whole life was that one experience of feeling at home. And then my shit starts going.
Sure. But for 10 minutes, completely defenseless, right, Walt? Not concerned about the edges and the borders in mine, and you were in a receive mode of something that you had in complete abundance. How did that happen?
Well, for me, the denial of it is well-practiced.
It's well-practiced to get the aloneness thing. Congratulations, you're so good at it.
I could teach that class.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get good with the band. You get good and you get better. And you learn the other players. Help each other. Help each other with the music. Whoa. And it starts coming together.
There's so many contradictions between what we do in the ego. Yeah, and
because that's what the ego is. The ego is a thought system that executes separation. It's a way for you to think that enables you to exist separate. It's anti-connect. So even when you do connect under the ego's guidance, it's for a specific take. Chapter 16 says, it says, I'll give you something of less value so I can get something that I really want. I'll trade you this for that. You don't trade your that for this? What? No, it's always this for that. I'll trade a little less for a little more. And I hope that you like it and you think that it's equal and everything, because with the ego now, not with your HS going on and your holy relationship going on, it's parity, it's love, it's actually sustainability is the rule of the day. So it's absolutely, I'll even give you more than expecting for this. For less, that's fine. I just want to share. Beautiful. But when the ego's in charge, it's a different negotiation.
I don't think you feel as if you have to, what's the word I want? Not filter what you say. Or, I mean, that you just...
Defenselessness?
Yeah. That you just feel at home.
You feel at home. You feel like you won't be attacked. Yeah. It's just the most beautiful thing about a love relationship or in a holy relationship is defenselessness is totally enabled. You know, there's just nothing you could say wrong, Carol. Mm. Nothing any of you could say wrong.
2 weeks ago, maybe three, 2 weeks ago, page 368, paragraph 4, sentence 1. Only what I have not given can be lacking in any situation.
Yeah.
And when I go into a day like that with a person, it's really wonderful.
Yes.
Because I know exactly, you know, what I need to do to make that connection complete.
Yes. Yes.
And what I can do to totally destroy it.
There are lessons that are specifically on that point. Only my condemnation injures me is one of them. Another lesson is it can be but myself I crucify. Another one is It can be but my gratitude I earn. And on and on, right? You bet. There's a real good theme there. It's a real good theme of responsibility for personal.
I have a question.
Yes.
No, go. You finish. Mine's a question.
And the power we have to do that.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's we have that power.
Yes.
We can choose or not choose to do it, but to use it. But
and that's the good news, right? Yeah. Is that the good news?
That's good news?
The power?
Yeah.
What's the bad news?
Power.
Yeah, the power.
You have the power, nobody else does.
Now.
What?
You know it now.
You know it now.
Nobody else has that power over you. Nobody's gonna make you happy.
And I have to do it. It doesn't matter how many other people, you know, are there.
Yes.
If I don't do that,
yes,
it doesn't happen.
You're talking about connecting to your own personal power. That's what A Course in Miracles is for. To help you connect is a self-empowerment manual with 365 easy-to-follow steps.
They're not so always so easy to follow.
And to connect to my joy.
He said easy to follow, not easy to remember.
Because that's what I receive when I give.
That's what Meg said. She says, well, you get joy when you get connected. And did you hear what Stephen said? That's Stephen and Stephen. Did you hear what the guy said? That when this mysterious thing comes about, your self drops away and you're in receive mode, in overwhelmed, fully abundant receive mode from I know not where. It comes. But it's so personal. He says, it's me! Wow! May called it joy. That was her shortcut. That connection. What do you get? What's enabled? Think of the enabling things. But for a moment, let's stick with what Walt pointed out, which is a particular connection, which A Course in Miracles is heavy duty on task. And that is personal self-empowerment. Personal self-empowerment. You see, the ego would have us do the exact opposite of personal self-empowerment, and it's called victimhood. What's victimhood? Something outside of me. What?
Something outside of you is in control of it.
Is controlling me.
Right.
And I have to go along with what's happening outside of me. I'm forced. Something outside of me is controlling my happiness.
No, you are. Because...
Because why?
There's nothing outside. It's all inside.
The man is a Course in Miracles fanatic.
Really?
I can't turn him on. Turn him on to 236 on page 410 in the workbook.
236?
236, page 410 in the workbook. And then, New Girl, you're doing great. Yeah.
236?
Yeah, the numbers start over again three times. But, yeah. Well, she's like first one there. Yeah.
She's a phenom.
Yeah. That's 236 in the workbook. Yeah, you got it? It's on page 410.
What page were you on?
Page 410 in the workbook.
Oh, okay.
There's about 3/8 of an inch left of the book when you get there.
Was that
lesson 236? Oh, I have a good star there. I wonder why.
New Girl, would you read? I'm sorry, Sharon. I actually know your name.
Sure.
I
think
I know.
All right.
Lesson 236. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. And continue.
No, please. Okay. Read the whole thing.
Oh, how joyful. Number one, I have a kingdom I must rule. Number two, at times...
And then, Sharon, as you read through this, would you punch that I?
Sure.
And the message is, really, it's this I.
You can do it. Number two. At times, it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems, number three, it seems to triumph over me and tell me that to think and to what I do and feel. And yet, it has been given to me to serve whatever purpose I perceive it. My mind can only serve. Today I give its service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule, and thus I set it free to do the will of God.
Please do.
Okay. Father, my mind is open to your thoughts. Enclosed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
Is there any victimhood going on here?
No.
Not quite. Even though I'm turning over, it's my stinking thinking that I want to take a break from. And I decide to do so. And it's a big lesson to learn that you can turn off your ego and you're still there. In fact, as the Course says, you will discover your will. It's one of the huge gifts of A Course in Miracles, to discover your will, and then you'll understand that the ego was a wish. What's the difference between wish and will? Anybody?
I might, or versus I am going to.
Yes! Wish is I might, maybe, one day. Maybe will, maybe won't. I wish. Wouldn't it be not? Will is, get out of my way, here it comes. You're going to get hurt if you stand there.
Already happened.
What? It's already happened.
It's already happened.
A will has already happened the moment the thought alights your mind. Even though it's going to take a year. Mm-hmm. Or a week. Or a lifetime. It doesn't matter. It's already happened. It's so different than a wish. Mm-hmm. And yet it happens in the exact same place.
You know, wish and try, all those words are about the same. But will is so...
unambiguous.
Definite.
Mm-hmm. Will is a decision.
Yeah. Done.
Commitment.
What? Committed. Fully. Yeah. You're already connected to the process. You're not waiting for anything. Very, very different. Yeah. I rule my mind, comma, which, he clears his throat. You know, I alone must rule. I have a kingdom. I must rule. Good news and bad news, folks. For all of you who wish and hope the Holy Spirit would come in and just take over and
make it easy.
No, it doesn't come from the outside.
Well, shit, that explains that.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it come from the outside? The connection between you and truth, you and God, you and the Holy Spirit, you and your own will. The one that you would fully connect to with joy and be able to effortlessly struggle. That's another thing I love about will and passion. Something you do with passion, things can cost big time money, big time time, but if you're undergoing something with passion, mm-hmm. a will,
doesn't matter.
There's this cost. The cost is it's get it done. I'm not trying to be efficient or to be effective. It's so different, Will. Good. All right. Good. Okay, let's get back to task here. Okay, so please turn to page 399 in the text. 399. Paragraph 7. David?
All right.
Truth and illusions have no connection. This will remain forever true, however much you seek to connect them. But illusions are always connected, as is truth. Each is united, a complete thought system, but totally disconnected to each other. And to perceive this is to recognize where separation is and where it must be healed. The result of an idea is never separate from its source. The idea of separation produces the body and remains connected to it. Make it sick because of the mind's identification with it. You think you are protecting the body by hiding this connection, for this concealment seems to keep your identification safe from the attack of truth.
You kind of guess what we choose connected for tonight. This is the connection paragraph. Holy cannoli. But you know what? There's a really simple awakening waiting for us in this paragraph on that word alone. Think of, let's look and see how Course in Miracles uses this word we've just thought about. Look at it roll. Truth and illusion, they have no connection. Seems pretty obvious, right? Yeah, truth is...
chalk and cheese.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, you don't think that.
But it's English.
Is it?
It's about as different as chalk and cheese.
Yeah. Truth is truth because there's no illusion in it. Once you introduce illusion, it's not truth anymore. Illusion, same thing, but in verse, right? And I like to play with this idea to help us not, you know, help us not feel so utterly ripped out of our reality. I like to say that everything you're experiencing right now with your body, time, space, your family, your life, you know, your deal, all of that, it is real. It is real. Your family, your home, your wishes, things you love about the world, it's real. It's just not true. Just like a movie. Movies are real. But they're not true. You're in a dream. A real dream. See, but dreams aren't real. Oh. Of course, right? That's what makes it a dream. That's why it's a dream. But it really is a dream, isn't it? After all, it had a start, finish, details. It took up your attention. It may even make you wake up. It's something, after all, isn't it? But it's nothing. And here's the conundrum. Where this author, an awakened master, having walked in your shoes, says, I get it. Oh my God, where do you see what you've been doing? This is what awakening would cost you. By the way, which most people are just simply not either ready to pay or really willing to pay. I don't know how much I'm going to feel that particular cost, so I'm going to take it one little step at a time. Not willing to let go of my identity entirely. This whole heaven, spiritual enlightenment, complete awakening, I mean, is that going to mean I'm going to be bored? I hear that a lot. People say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that much peace. Am I going to be bored? How many times can you strum the harp? I'm not sure I really want to go to heaven. That country song? Everybody want to go to heaven. Nobody want to go right now. Good Lord, call on me next week. Because I got a party tonight. Yeah, yeah. Unless you've had experience like Stephen had, you're like, can I get more of that? Mm-hmm. From where does that come, this mystery? And perhaps the holy instant is a door I would go through and find myself at home. Connected. Loving that free flow connection of the holy relationship when two people recognize their cooperation with each other. The love is surfaced. Can I have more of that? Where does that go? I want to solve problems with you in that space. Mm-hmm. How much fun is that? Now relationship brings happiness. Yep. That's what we're talking about. That's the healing. That's the ultimate healing we're talking about. Healing is, right, bringing it back together, knitting it back up, closing back up the gap, heal it. Yes. Okay, so truth and illusion have no connection, right? This will remain forever true. However much you seek to connect them, okay? Now, what it's talking about there is the plight of the spiritual ego. Anybody got spiritual ego nailed? Mm-hmm. The spiritual ego?
We got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually it starts with two words, the spiritual ego. I know what's good for you. I know. Probably the spiritual ego. Somebody outside of you is going to tell you what will make you happy.
It also looks like this. Like you're really angry at somebody. It's like, I'm not going to be angry because I know that it's not, you know, like it's like...
Yes.
I'm not explaining it.
No, you are. You got it? Everybody got it? Mm-hmm. She says, I'm not going to be angry because I know that's not really spiritual. It's not forgiving. It's not the loving person that I want to be.
But they still recognize that you still called it a problem.
You just said, I'm pissed.
Right.
Are you pissed? You are pissing me off. But I'm not going to be angry because I...
Rise above it.
What?
I'm going to rise above it.
I'm going to rise above the obvious anger that you are causing.
That's
your behavior is making me, but I'm going to rise above how much you've just pissed me off so I can be loving. And what are you going to say in a moment like that?
You're full of shit.
She's going to call you on it.
Call it.
Most people will say thank you.
No,
they say thanks for not getting so angry.
Right.
Thanks for forgiving me.
Right.
No, it was an attack.
I understand.
This book calls that out. That's the world's forgiveness, is the spiritual ego. The world's forgiveness says, you did a horrible thing, and it cost me. It really cost me. But, because I'm so good and pure and whole and loving, I'm not going to punish you for what you deserve to be punished for. Don't you love me? Aren't I good?
That's pretty nice.
Can't you see how much I love you? I'm not going to punish you for being such a rotten that you just did. But isn't that forgiveness in the world? I will not punish you for what you deserve to be punished for.
I'll overlook it.
I'll overlook your transgression.
Yeah.
I'll overlook. Look the other way. It's an attack, folks. The Course in Miracles calls it out. That's why it uses that word. Because it's got to be reversed. That has to be turned on its head.
Okay, so how is it turned on its head?
How is forgiveness used in A Course in Miracles? Anybody? You guys know that book's in here a lot, right? I mean, that word's in this book a lot, right? Forgiveness?
Let it go and don't make it.
I only say that because for the first 6 years I was in the book, I couldn't answer it. I've read it and everything I know is important, but I'll tell you, it took me a long time to be able to own A Course in Miracles forgiveness. So believe me, I But it's time for you to try. Anybody? Anybody been as... Walt, you come to a lot of these meetings. I like... I would like you to tell us, what does Course in Miracles mean by forgiveness?
It's,
no pressure.
It's letting go of...
He's going to answer.
Yeah, it's realizing that this is not true. And we have to let it go or drop it. Or
New Girl has a question. Ask him.
Sharon. I still go by Sharon. But, so, I forget what he said. It's not true. What's not true?
It's not the, well, whatever you think.
Whatever the transgression or whatever it is not true.
Yeah.
Well, the judgment.
It's the judge. It's
the thought, or the perception, the judgment.
Or the grievance. Yeah.
Grievance?
That's not the truth. That's an illusion.
Ma'am?
Never happened.
But didn't it cost him $3,000? or his place in line? Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a transgression that the world could measure? I mean, you don't forgive nothing. You know, something pops up to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. It turns out it's nothing. But she wants to know what exactly didn't happen. When after all, you borrowed my car and didn't ask me? I mean, you did borrow my car.
Stealing?
It's called stealing. That's what the law calls it, stealing. So how is it that but you did borrow my car. So it, let's say it's borrowing the car. We don't have to crash it. We'll just say it was borrowed. And you didn't ask. You stole the car for an hour and a half. You forgive this person? What does Course in Miracles mean by forgiveness in this
scenario?
It does not see the error at all, and it just lets it go. There was no error.
Okay.
It's been here for years.
Well, a miracle is your perception of what needs to be forgiven.
And so if you
have the choice to give anything at all the meaning you choose to give it.
Yeah.
So forgiving something, there has to have been a thing. And the Course is teaching us that these things are just, it's our choice have these grievances or to have peace. So it's a car, it's an hour and a half, it can be the biggest deal ever, or it can just be nothing at all.
I can't believe you took my car. I mean, you went into my room, you got my keys, and you drove my car to Watsonville and back. And Yuri says, well, I needed it. That was why. I needed a car. I feel like you stole my car. Dude.
Okay, so
go for it. Julie, what's forgiveness in the Course in Miracles? What's forgiveness in the world? Back to Webster's dictionary definition. This really helps.
The concept of forgiveness has been coming up for me off and on for a few months now, and it's finally stuck in my head that it's not about forgiving you at all.
Right.
It's my own salvation. It's my own peace of mind. It's my own release of the anger.
Yes! I didn't want to give you the softball of who's forgiven, because that would have given... He got it.
That's a big deal, because in the human being mind, we might go through the motions of, listen, I understand, I got it, I forgive you, but would you go to take measures to make sure those keys are never where that person could get them?
Uh-huh.
Is that really forgiveness?
Uh-huh. It's the old forgive and forget cycle.
Forgiveness is for you.
Forgiveness in A Course in Miracles is for you. Mostly because there's nothing outside of you that can change your happiness. This turns out to be the truth. This is the ultimate empowering message of this book, 1,300 pages, to help you discover the simple little truth that you have a kingdom that you must rule. That's good news and bad news. That's what this book says. It helps you own your own mind. Because right now, most of us are affected by things outside of us too much. We're victims to that person taking the car. We're victims to the IRS. We're victims to the shoelace. We're victims to cancer. We're victims to the food prices. Do you know how much these things cost now? postage went up. What? How much does it take to move a letter? Again and again and again, our minds wander to victimhood and somehow feel empowered by that. Course says, you know what? You're going the opposite direction of freedom.
Opposite
direction from freedom. You're going to door B, thinking that this is where your happiness is. When door A is the other way, it's a hallway with only two doors. All you got to do is turn around and go the other way.
Mm-hmm. Seems like such a dilemma, but it actually is.
It actually isn't. It's very, very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And oh, thank goodness, it's only, you know, A or B. Because when you let go of pursuing separation, when you let go of pursuing anger, when you let go of trying to be nice, the spiritual ego, forgiving that person for actually doing something that controls your happiness. You took my car, and that's mean. That hurts me. You took my car. When you let go that your happiness is because your decisions and judgments over the car being gone out of your control for an hour and a half from somebody you didn't even ask, if that's a reason for you to be unhappy, can I just ask you a simple question, Stefan? Are you willing to answer a simple question?
Yes.
In front of the whole group?
Yes.
All right. Here's my question to him. Would you rather be right or happy? Just tell us.
Most of the time.
Just answer the question!
Most of the time, I think I'm going to be happy because I'm going to be right.
I want you to answer the question.
I want you to soul search
a little bit.
No.
Where's your keys?
But that could be. Yeah, and I'll be happy when I've hidden my keys from everybody and I get a police report, you know. Just so that I help this person not do that to somebody else. I'm not doing it for me. You know, I'm going to overlook it.
You're incredibly good at judging or what we do or
I'm right, you're wrong makes me feel better. So if you'd please say you're sorry, that's a good start. Mm. Are you sorry for stealing my car?
I don't care.
I'd steal your car, but you don't have one.
It doesn't even have to be something as egregious as that. I mean,
that's egregious.
It's right. She's right.
No, I mean, I don't even. Mm-hmm. That's something that's actually quite tangible. I'm talking about. I'll get. Even if in whistling, lovely mood,
mm-hmm.
someone cuts me off, which is nothing.
Yeah.
How many spiritual people here, happily spiritual people, not ego spiritual people, can go through that and go, eh?
Yeah. That little.
Anyone here?
That little Mini Cooper just pulled right in.
Oh, if your car pulls in.
Yeah, just cuts you off. It could be dangerous, it could be not dangerous, it could be attitude or not be attitude.
Yeah, you're in the exit lane, you waited your turn, and you're getting off the highway, and there's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and somebody goes over the solid line and just takes this, they drive right past all of us.
Which we all know is nothing.
It doesn't matter. You're going to get there. You're still going to get there.
But, that's a whole world in itself. So,
Course in Miracles calls it your own personal private hell.
Yeah, I know. I
would
live here.
Or the fish hook. Whichever you want to describe it.
Okay. I don't know if I can even articulate this quite, but may I try? Because the issue is for me is between the spiritual ego, where you described, I'm just going to be above the situation. You're not really above the situation.
Right?
Kind of
seething.
Whereas the level of forgiveness you're talking about, where you just let it go because you don't want your peace of mind disturbed.
It's almost Freudian. It's pure self-interest.
Selfish!
It's
Thank
pure
you,
self-interest.
Jeff.
But to get there,
but
the but.
Yeah.
But to get it, to genuinely get from here where
yes.
doesn't bother, you know, it's yep. okay, or yeah. whatever it
yeah.
is you mm-hmm. say,
yeah.
but it's not real,
yeah.
to the genuine release.
Yeah.
Of forgiveness is the—that's the dilemma. I'm sort
that's
of
why I asked him the simple question. That is really hard to answer honestly.
So from an unhealthy standpoint, you're either a bullshit artist, which is nothing bothers me, everything's fine. You know it's crap, or a doormat. That's
okay. Challenge the gloves down, Jeff.
No, no, I'm not saying.
I told you our teacher arrived. Did I tell you our teacher arrived?
I knew it. I asked her to come.
Exactly.
Good.
So, no, I mean, and that's
no offense taken.
No, none meant. I'm just saying of how the world. Okay, now I'm not saying people in this room. I'm saying how the world perceives you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And right. and the fear is, which is an ego thing. And the fear is. Yeah. Is that will be, what's the word?
Abused.
A constant.
Permanent.
Yeah, a permanent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the, yes, yeah. I forget the. There's a proper word.
Pattern.
Anyways, but yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, go. You're on.
How are you not a doormat when you forget? Anybody here who's seen Dr. Mengele, please chip in. Okay, this is a movie. This forgiving Dr. Mengele. This Holocaust survivor. She, and her identical twin sister, got out of the concentration camps with numbers on their arms. The gal in the movie that you get to see is the one that they didn't inject these kidney potions in.
The control.
And she was the control, but her sister they experimented on, and they watched the twins. The Nazis took many twins. And used medical experimentation, and they kept a control that was unadulterated, so they could monitor.
Oh.
Okay, pretty tough, right? Pretty oh. tough. Yeah. Okay. So they came out; they both survived, but the poisons they gave her sister did not. She eventually died from them. The sister. So here's somebody who's, you know, it was bad enough that her family was killed in front of her, right? Concentration camp. The whole thing. She's just old enough to remember in detail all of it, and she lost her sister too. Everybody seen this movie? I passed it around a couple of times. Anybody, you haven't seen it yet? All right, I'll bring
pass it around. Again.
I'll pass it around. Bring it back in. And what it is it's the forgiveness Jeff beautifully described. She's not a Course in Miracles student, but she derived out of an utter frustration. She has her own Holocaust museum. Okay. She's American, right? Living in somewhere in the middle of the country, and she took over this small building, and she put pictures and photos of people sent her stuff, and she's got a nice little Holocaust museum going on. She remembers how bad it was. Her conscience is loaded and heavily weighted with this. But you know, she carried this burden of damning those Nazis. How could it be? Every single day of her life, my family. I mean, so callous were they. But I have to go face one of these Nazis to find out what the hell he injected into my sister, so maybe we can undo it before she died. If they could, maybe modern medicine could help her ailing sister, okay, at 57 or whatever, at that point. So she did the research, and she went to go see this last surviving Dr. Mengele, Nazi doctor that was doing these experiments on twins. Anger. I mean, she had to clear her head. She says, I'm doing this for my sister. I'm going to go see that SOB. I can't believe a Nazi's in America. Tough, right? Burdening. Horrible. Difficult. But she's like, got to go talk to this guy. She gets there. He's 89 years old. A frail old man who's just trying to live. And she looked in his eyes. And she just saw eyes. He wasn't interested in the Nazi deal. He was interested in just living another day. It kind of got to her. It kind of broke her idea of what the strong, powerful, cold Nazis are like. She says, Jesus, just another human being. Oh, that wasn't all of it. But it just put a little crack. And then she just didn't like hating him so much. Now she had a set of eyes that she'd stared at while she was asking questions. And he tried to help. He dug up all the stuff and he tried to imagine. And he said, well, what was her name? Well, hey, let me just try to... He tried and tried and tried through his own tears. I'm so sorry this happened. I wish this never... But let me see if I can figure it out. And he just broke her heart. She had a burden. She was carrying a hatred burden every single day. And she recognized that the Nazis are gone, the war is over. His sister died, okay. And for years she carried this. And she says, I'm tired of being so mad all the time. I'm right. I know I'm right, she says. Those Nazis, what they did, poisoning, and it's horrible. I know that I'm right, but I'm just not happy being right.
Well, isn't this like married to the Serenity Prayer, Andrew? I mean, really.
Yes. Yes.
The same conversation.
Yes. Yes. You're getting realistic. You're getting realistic with forgiveness. Which is why I had us read Lesson 236. It seems at times that I'm not in control of my mind and that things are really coming at me. But A Course in Miracles says, don't fall for that. You are responsible. Page 448. You're responsible for what you see and what you think and all these judgments and all these meanings that you're putting on things. That comes from you. That comes from your choice to make it mean something. Ooh, that's harsh. Ooh, that's critical. But this lady, in forgiving Dr. Mengele, went through, I'd rather be happy right now, and I'm going to try to do it all day. And she actually let herself off the hook from damning the Nazis for one full day. And man, was she reborn, Stephen. Man, was she receiving from an abundance that had been held back for so long. She forgot what it meant to feel peaceful. She forgot what it meant to be happy. She forgot. She was blocked by her own thoughts. Running a Holocaust museum and having had a sister die from injections from the Nazis in a concentration camp where her parents were smoked in front of her very face. She forgot. I understand.
Which means... Christ meant lay your burden down.
He laid her burden down.
I get that.
Would you rather be happy or right? In this world.
So I think there's like a practical part to this though that should be shared. So like for me, the difference between the fake I'm going to forgive you, and the other is that you're in your head. And so when you really let go, it's not so much something you do. All you did, and what I practice doing, is extending the pause between the stimulus and the what used to be a reaction and now can be a response. And it's breathe or whatever, but mm-hmm. that in that moment, mm-hmm. you have a choice. Mm-hmm. And you're not in your head. So the true release, you don't actually do anything. Mm-hmm. That's how you know which one it is. Because mm-hmm. if you're still thinking like, because it'll be better for me or whatever,
story.
Then you're still in your head.
Story.
So it's a grace. Like you have to do the pause, but the rest is like grace. You
What's lesson number two?
Do anything.
What's lesson number
I
two?
Everything I see.
Let's go there for a second, okay? It's workbook. It's page, I don't know, 3. Right in the middle of the book, just crack the book in half. And go to lesson number 2.
Page 4.
It's page 4. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this lesson. And all we're going to do is read the title. I just wanted you to see it in black and white print. I have given everything I see. Literally. All the meaning that it has for me. I have given everything I see. All the meaning that it has for me.
So isn't that why we heard the expression practice forgiveness?
It's like, why are we practicing?
Yes.
It's like there's a moment where, number one, you know, we're lucky enough to be in a conversation on an ongoing basis that forgiveness exists. For some people, that's not a conversation.
Right.
So first there is the recognition that there's something to forgive.
Yep.
As you practice
yes.
forgiveness,
yes.
you keep backing into forgiveness. You get that selfish motivation, you get that, you know, that it, this isn't real, that it, yeah. you know, and yeah. it really comes down to forgiving your own thought process on some level.
Yes.
But ultimately, via the practice, you have those moments which you can notice in contrast to how you were in the past,
yep.
that it really occurs like people are just how people are. There's nothing to forgive. Mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't even occur like forgiveness per se, because it everything around it is either just sort of a given in the world of how human beings are, and therefore you've like owned your reaction to judging other people in a way that says there's something to forgive,
mm-hmm.
that there's just nothing to deal with anymore. There's just forgiveness present beyond the practice of forgiveness. And they're
uh-huh.
interchangeable, because obviously, you know, given the complicated lives we live, the interaction with other human beings and so forth, you know, there's moments where that forgiveness is just present, and there's others where we better practice it.
What is forgiveness in the Course in Miracles?
It's the final illusion.
Forgiveness is yet another dream, like all the dreams, but it's the dream that ends dreaming. It's the final illusion. And why it's an illusion, Walt? I think this is what? It's on my page, I think it's on page 68 that you're talking about. It's a wild guess. Sorry, guys. It's not one of my well-known ones. So who knows what we're going to get on page 68.
Kim's not here to test
you. Pop quiz.
I see.
The other way it's described is it's healing.
Forgiveness is healing.
Yeah. Forget page 68, sorry.
Page 68?
Forget 68. Forget it. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Okay.
So tell us more about this. What is forgiveness in A Course in Miracles versus forgiveness in the world? Walt's on it.
Well, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. It's what you, it really is.
It's a misthought or it's a mistaken thought.
Maybe it's 168.
168 is the Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness.
That sounds better.
Forgiveness. there needs to be something to forgive for forgiveness to be required. But if you... Once you realize what a miracle is, there's nothing to forgive.
Yes, it is 168. It's 168, paragraph 5. That's right.
That's totally wrong, but...
When you wake up, there's nothing to forgive, and forgiveness becomes automatic and obvious. It's just an old pattern of thought that was about to judge and says, for what? Forgiveness is seeing that this is not control my happiness. Yes, there was... car, and yes, there was a law broken, yes, there was money involved, yes, there was whatever, but you know, the fact is, I am not controlled by that. My happiness does not require her to never steal my car. It's very important that you recognize selfishly that your happiness,
I'm thinking,
you give everything you see all the meaning that it has for you. Full start, full stop, that's it. So when you recognize that you can shift your perception, which is what a miracle is, in this book, it's a shift in perception. A shift in perception of the situation. Then you're enabling yourself to be disconnected from the harm that the world says you must have incurred. That's what guilt is. Guilt means something out there affected something over here. Or I did that, causing A to B, causing cost. That's what guilt is. Of Course in Miracles says, there's actually no guilt in oneness. You've separated off. You've disconnected from the one.
I'm thinking of the word victimhood.
Yes.
And that there's a connection between victimhood and thinking you have to forgive.
Yes.
Or even thinking forgive,
yes.
Forgiveness.
Yes. That's correct.
Is that like I get angry at myself for not recognizing things?
Well, sometimes that happens too, a little, yeah. But what we're talking about here is when you recognize what forgiveness is, you're recognizing that you're not forgiving something that's real. You don't forgive something you think is true. You really hurt me. There's no way to forgive that. If I really think you hurt me, I'm going to condemn you, I'm going to curse you, I'm not going to ask you over anymore. I mean, I'm going to punish you in some way or another. Or at least I'm going to cut you off.
Unless you're in your spiritual ego and you're being so...
high and mighty.
Right.
But I will not be forgiving in A Course in Miracles terms. Right. So, of course, another word for forgiveness in this book is release. But release me, thank you, Jeff. It's my stinking thinking. You're going to do whatever you do. I'd rather be happy today than right. So I'm just going to live a happy day. And to do that, I'm going to let go of something that and prove to myself that it doesn't control me. This whole idea about you taking my car and just disregarding my rights entirely. You know what? I think I'm just going to let that be and know and prove to myself it doesn't affect my happiness. By remembering that I have a kingdom that I must rule all the time. And I'm responsible for sight. And I give everything all I see, all the meaning it has for me. I'm going to remember some of these basic principles of A Course in Miracles and feel the freedom with every breath as I come into the present moment and say, you know what, I'm just happy now. I don't even have a car. She wrecked it. I don't even have a car. But you know what, for today I'm just going to be happy. Dr. Mengele, that forgiving Dr. Mengele, that woman, she just wanted to be happy now. I don't care about the stupid Nazis. You know what? She got up on a podium, went to a conference, a big Jewish Holocaust conference, and says, you guys are keeping the Nazis alive with your hatred. You're reminding us, and she's got a Nazi museum, okay? So it's just one of them. She says, we're keeping it alive. We're punishing ourselves day after day. They've been, most of them are dead and gone. The last one I could find is so frail he couldn't stand on his own. I kept them alive for all these years. I kept them at 32 years old sticking needles in people. He didn't have any needles anymore. People stick him. I've been making it up for all these years. I'm sick of it. That's what she said. She tried to tell them, and they were all up in arms. You don't care anymore. You know, you've lost it. You don't remember your own family. How could you? How could you say that? How could you forgive the Nazis? Just, I'm not forgiving them for them. I'm doing what Jeff said, selfishly.
So forgiveness is an illusion.
Yes?
According to this.
Why? Why? Why is forgiveness an illusion?
Nothing to forgive.
Because there's nothing to forgive. Because I have been making it up for all these years. For all these minutes.
So the transgression is illusion as well.
The transgression is me in my own head. Yes. Good. That's right. That's right.
You know when you release...
Because you're in a movie, nothing happened. Even though you saw it on the screen. Mm-hmm. Nothing actually happened. That's you. That's... Mm. Right? Okay, Julie.
Somebody in this room, when we were talking about, I forget what you call them, tools for to interrupt your thoughts... Somebody said once that they schedule, if they're worried about something, they schedule an appointment to worry, like three, okay, in 3 hours, if I'm still, like, if this is still on my mind, I'll sit down and worry about it at that time. It sounded like ludicrous at the moment, but I've done that strategy. And you, I can be seething or in complete turmoil of worry and just say, okay, I'm not going to think about this now. I'm just going to let go. I'm going to take a breath. And when you actually, you know, and not, that's not necessarily true forgiveness or true release in that moment, but by letting that thought just not sit and cycle, sometimes when you're really worried, you get yourself years ahead. Well, how is this going to affect me in, you know, a decade? And by interrupting that, you can actually see so quickly how what a fallacy it is. Like, you can be seething or in turmoil one moment and, like, laughing and happy the next. Like, for me, that's, like, that's the empowerment and the reinforcement to keep doing it. So you don't, I don't feel like a doormat because, like, you're free. Like, you, and you realize, like, all that was a thought that led to another thought and another thought and another thought.
Right, it's your brain on a hamster wheel. I get it.
Literally, so.
Take it off the wheel. And what you're telling me, which I'm still working on.
Yeah. Well, and I can't do it all the time. My gosh, I have problems. Ask these people. But the moments where I'm able to do it, like, then it reinforces, like, me to do it more often. So, I just, I don't know. That's, it's just a thought. Like, that's the thing that hits me sometimes, is that it was only a thought in my mind.
And the thought in my mind caused the feeling in my gut, which caused the burning of fear in my body, which made my thoughts go stronger because the body was hurting. Which that started with my mind, but I forgot that part. Now I just don't worry about how bad I feel, and I feel worse, and I can't sleep now because it must be bad because I feel bad. What? You feel bad because you thought about it. Mm-hmm. Break that cycle.
I don't know how people in here really can do this without some of the understanding that I've gained. For me, it is that I'm not in competition with what I perceived as others.
Nice.
Really. I still get there, but that's not...
I don't understand.
So
you've got to start somewhere.
And over, like, everyone is my brother.
Yep.
You know, we're all one. And what that's kind of allowed me to do in my thought is I can... I'm not so separate anymore. If somebody does... I perceive somebody has done something. Mm-hmm. Now I look... That's just... They've done a human thing just like me.
Yep.
Because as long as I felt... Stick with separateness, stick with competition, stick with lack.
Yep.
But I'm only going through the motions of forgiveness because once that competition button goes on, without me really, I was just pretending to forgive or going, okay, I'll just be a victim. I'll be a righteous victim until I could really, like, really see what this person, the story did, was looked into someone else's eyes and goes, those are, that's just another human being.
Doing the best they can. Yeah. Just like me, the last time I transgressed and I did something to her car. Mm-hmm. I was in a rush. My car wouldn't start, but I had only 5 minutes to get to the court date. And just all I got to do is put a piece of paper in their hands. I just needed your car. I didn't have time to call you. I'm sorry. You know, the best I could do was just take your car. You stole my car. So, compassion is called for, and that helps reflect back to you what it is you would be judging. The Course in Miracles has you look at your brother before you look at yourself. Be a little nice to them, compassionate with them, and maybe we'll get to be nice to yourself. It's really hard to be nice to yourself, it turns out. In a lot of ways, it's easier to be nice to somebody else, to forgive them, let them off the hook for being so sloppy, careless, uncaring, slow, whatever. Because you want to be a more loving person. But somehow to yourself, I really am not worthy of... I'm a sack of shit. We're so tough on ourselves. So, forgiveness, of Course in Miracles, and yes, thank you so much. You don't just jump to this. That's why there's 1,300 pages. Oh, my God. We have to reverse the victimhood that we are completely drunk on. Drunk on. Yes?
And the conditioning. I love when we remind each other that, like, there's times when you go to do a lesson in a day.
Yeah.
And you're going to try to remember it every 15 minutes throughout the day, and you think, oh my God, this just changed my life, and then 15 minutes, you cannot remember what it was.
And you've said it 100 times so far.
And you think, this is just like the best thing ever, oh my God, I'm forever changed. In 15 minutes, you're like, what the hell was that?
Who am I? How much do I want my own enlightenment? I can't remember.
And that we have to just kind of like talk about forgiving. You can't.
It's times like that. It's times like that. You got to laugh at it.
Yeah.
And then you don't argue anymore when it says you need to do this every 6 minutes, 10 times an hour. You don't laugh anymore when the book, because sometimes it says, you know, do this once an hour, do this twice today. That's what starts. Do this lesson twice today. Good morning and evening, you're good. But when you get up around lesson 50 or 60 or so, it says, you're going to have to do this 10 times an hour in order to get it. That's every 6 minutes.
So if you can't do that,
yeah,
is it better to stay with that, just sit there with that lesson until you can?
You should probably lock yourself in your car with some food.
No, I didn't.
Every day for a week, you know, until you manage to do it, or just keep going.
No, you keep going, do your best. First time through the workbook, you plow through one lesson per day.
Okay, but what about the second time?
Okay, second time, let it move you a little more. Spend 2 or 3 days on one lesson, okay?
Yeah.
And integrate, okay? And really let the lesson do you, okay? The first time through, I think you're going to have the experience that Pam had and I had, which is, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I've said this lesson 150 times, I called my mom and told her, this is going to wake me up, and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
Shit. That's really tough, okay, with somebody who's trying so hard.
It just speaks to the distance and this yet zero distance at the same time. It's
disconnected.
Like this, yeah.
Disconnected nature.
So conditioned.
Yes.
To be distracted and
so
to be in
asleep.
Our ego and to be asleep and all that stuff. And
then,
you know, and I had been told many times by a friend who was very into this, set the alarm on your phone. Just do it. And yeah. Oh, no, I'm good at remembering. I'll remember. Every time there's a, you know, whatever.
Yep.
You've got to set the alarm.
I think it's really powerful.
I learned to, like, not even notice the alarm, though. That's what even...
I've done that, too. I bypassed many.
And then I changed to a different alarm.
Oh, yeah, I've done
so
that, too.
It's
that
like
one's
4 o'clock.
There's, and, like, that, there's that level of commitment. And then...
Never underestimate the ego. Yeah, I sell a timer on my website.
There, we say that all. She just said, "Oh, mine's sneaky." She just said,
"Oh, you got a special one, do you?"
No, I mean we all. It's insidious.
Yes,
it's insidious. That's a good word.
And we've
it
all
is.
Said that too. It's
never
very insidious.
Never underestimate the ego. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
truly.
You do the perfect. No, you do it perfectly. But there is a reward for catching yourself asleep all through the day. With those particular words. There is a reward. It's powerful. The book is written, and it doesn't say it for every lesson, but some lessons it knows that are particular sticking points for the ego. There are spiritual awakenings, personal freedom awakenings in those lessons, and that's why they're so dense like that. So on my website, if you're into this, I sought out, and then I personally modified it, and I sell the modified ones. It's a little timer that clips on your belt. It has a beeper, good, which you can turn off in case you're so, you know, CEO or something, you can't have a beeper in your boardroom meeting, but that's okay. It's got a vibration mode, and if you can't have that because, you know, after all, people will get vibration, it's got a light, too. Light, a vibration, a beeper, clip it on your belt, put it in your pocket, it's really small, there's no excuses now. You see it from across the room. If you're naked, I can't put it in my pocket on my pocket phone because I work in a nudist camp. So I'm sorry, what am I going to do?
The band.
No excuses. You, this thing. So anyway, so I found huge benefit from catching my ego sleeping through the day, ignoring the lesson. Victimhood, right? Now I'm victim to the workbook. So again, we're out of time. So, everybody turn to page 248 in the workbook. And this is lesson 134, which is, let me perceive forgiveness as it is.
Is that 248?
It's page 248, that's correct. 248 in the workbook. Back of the book. Yep.
Back of the book.
Half an inch left when you get there. That's 248, page number. And let's just read a few paragraphs of this. Pam, you're up.
Right. Let me perceive forgiveness as it is. Let us review the meaning of forgive, for it is apt to be distorted and to be perceived as something that entails an unfair sacrifice of righteous wrath, a gift unjustified and undeserved, and a complete denial of the truth. In such a view, forgiveness must be seen as mere eccentric folly. In this course, appear to rest salvation on a whim.
Jeez. Miley?
this twisted view of what forgiveness means is easily corrected. When you can accept the fact that pardon is not asked for what is true.
Bing, 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 bing.
It must be limited to what is false.
Good.
It is irrelevant to everything except illusion.
We forgive illusions. We do not forgive the truth. Good. Please continue.
Truth is God's creation, and to pardon that is meaningless. Mm-hmm. All truth belongs to Him, reflects His laws, and radiates His love. Does this need pardon? How can you forgive the sinless and eternally benign? So all we're forgiving is what's false.
Correct.
So we're mother forgiving.
You can't forgive the truth. It's true. So you can't undo that. You can't release that. What we're forgiving is the false, the dream that something outside can harm me. Ever. Personal empowerment is what this book is about. It's restoring your own true inherited power as what you really are back to you. And that means we have to release the idea that something outside of you controls you. That is ego. That's separation. That's being disconnected and a victim to whatever happens to float your way. Stephen, next paragraph.
The major difficulty that you find in genuine forgiveness on your part is that you still believe you must forgive the truth and not illusions. You conceive of pardon as a vain attempt to look past what is there, to overlook the truth, in an unfounded effort to deceive yourself by making an illusion true. Mm-hmm. This twisted viewpoint but reflects the hold that the idea of sin retains as yet upon your mind as you regard yourself.
Woo! I mean, are we listening to a teacher who's actually understanding what it is, the struggle we have, the debate in our mind? That's what I fell in love with this book and this teacher. Because it's like not denying the story I'm going through. Wow! And
so this
more?
Is what you were talking about by being right. Right. Rather, for me, I can find that it right rather than sin.
Yep. Would you rather be right or happy? And to the ego, when you can prove a sin, a transgression has been done against you, it feels good to the ego. Now I'm not happy. Turns out that to define her as a sinner reflects right back to me. And my ability to also harm her or somebody else some other time.
How come we're so much better at forgiving strangers than the ones that we love?
Oh, it's because of that love. The small L love is a contract. And I would like to be in control of our arrangement. That's why. And if I give you loose run, I'm not controlling you very well.
And those close to you likely will frequently give you more evidence that they need to be forgiven for something. Mm-hmm. Whereas a stranger, you can forgive in the moment, walk away, it's all good.
Oh, but if somebody's in your face, and Kim went through this a couple of years ago, somebody she was working with, it was like they were in her face. So it wasn't like she could pardon, just get out of the situation, go somewhere. It was in work and in her face.
Yep, so right then it was pretty hot, but the next day she says, I'm not carrying this anymore. She's driving her car and says, I'm just going to... They're doing the best they could at the time.
And then she went to work again. It's hard when it's in your face.
Yep.
And you can't walk away from it.
Indeed. That's... However, if you understand that they got their thing going... Marcia went through this too. Marcia, big debate with a person at work. And she recognized that she was making it more difficult than it already was. Already difficult. This person is a difficult person. They're just difficult. And she was making it more difficult for herself. And the minute she dropped her active defense against everything this person said, she could hear the person go through their struggles, work their stuff, and they were having a hard time too. That person. That's why they were so hard to deal with, because they were having a hard time.
Right.
And her little compassion leaked in, and she could no longer condemn, and you know, things got better. Do I understand it?
Yeah.
if that works for me too. You're not forgiving that somebody came in and made you unhappy. Jeff?
Have you ever heard of the Dadva cycle?
No, I want to stick to Course in Miracles. Is it close?
I think it's appropriate here because it's the denial, anger, bargaining, acceptance pattern that you have to go through. And it's like the forgiveness, like, I feel like we have to like go through those steps mm-hmm. to get to the forgiveness that we seek.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice way to kind of break it down and say, okay, I need to be angry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be frustrated. And then I'm going to acceptance.
Yes.
I'm going to bargain.
Yes.
And go forward.
It really is helpful not to deny the most powerful emotions that are going on at the time. It's so true. It's so true. That would be, you would be actually denying your own power if you're super angry and you just said, I'm not going to be angry. That's broken. That's broken. And it's going to cost you in other ways. It's not forgiveness. It's not what we're talking about.
That's going back to the spiritual
that's
ego
a bypass.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a bypass.
That's a
bypass.
Earlier.
That's
you it's bet. Like it seems a lot cleaner to be honest about your rage.
You bet. And then watch yourself in the mirror, though. Do me the favor.
Yeah.
You go in front of the mirror next time you act that out. And you will probably laugh at yourself or at least catch yourself saying, this is not happy. Whatever I'm doing is... You realize how many times in your car you get so mad. The other person already left the freeway and they're parked and they're getting a soda. And you are yelling about them, screaming how they cut you off, took your space. It's just you and your little car using up the air. Your own personal private hell.
Mm-hmm.
Catch yourself. But if you got to do it, do it. I like that. I definitely like that. Let's read one more paragraph. We'll just push a little bit tonight. Oh, we didn't finish. Did we finish?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, let's read the next one. Julie 3, I think. 4?
4.
Here it comes.
Because you think your sins are real.
Your sins are real.
You look upon pardon as deception.
So if mine are real, why would I let her off the hook?
Sin. What's a sin for the new girl?
Yeah, sin is another word for...
A mistake.
Yeah. And in this book, the whole idea of separation being real. But it's really just a mistake. Yeah.
For it is impossible to think of sin as true and not believe forgiveness is a lie. Thus is forgiveness really but a sin, like all the rest.
Thus is forgiveness really but a sin, like all the rest. Fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Go.
It says the truth is false.
I'm supposed to think she didn't take my car now? Is that what you're telling me to do? The ego pushing against the idea of release. No, you need to hang on to the fact she took your car without permission. That's what kind of woman she is. Get it? Go ahead.
And that's how you protect yourself, too.
And then protect yourself, right? Keep yourself safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It says the truth is false and smiles on the corrupt as if they were as blameless as the grass. As white as snow.
Faker. Big faker.
It is delusional in what it thinks it can accomplish. It would see as right the plainly wrong, the loathsome as the good.
The entire paragraph says the same thing over and over and over 6 times. Just to join you in your innocent, stinking thinking. And I love that. I like how the book really joins me in that, you know, I really feel slighted. I feel like this was wrong what happened to me. And the book here says, well, you have a problem with forgiveness because you really do feel that it was wrong. And you feel it's controlling you. And you feel like if you were to let it go, it would be lying to yourself. And then you wouldn't be loving. Ego says, get angry about it. Stand up and scream from the rooftop. I mean, I love how this book just is... really gets close to your ego's thought system.
This is hard to understand.
What?
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm with you. Sorry.
Yeah, that's because it's switch and he's speaking for your ego right there. The whole paragraph, he's speaking for the ego. That's why. Using the word forgiveness, our holy F word. But he's using it from the ego's perspective. You know? Now he turns it around the other way. Let's read the other paragraph.
Pardon is no escape in such a view. It merely is a further sign that sin is unforgivable, at best to be concealed, denied, or called another name. For pardon is a treachery to truth. Guilt cannot be forgiven. If you sin, your guilt is everlasting.
And we're talking about here is letting somebody off the hook who should be on the hook. Saying the same thing over again. Please continue.
Those who are forgiven from the view that their sins are real, are pitifully mocked and twice condemned. First by themselves for what they think they did, and once again by those who pardon them.
So the poor SOB, when Pam, I forgive you for stealing the car. You stole the car. You should have asked me. You didn't. I could have needed it. But you know what? I'm just going to forgive you. So she already feels bad for taking the car. She had it. She needed it. She just grabbed it and went. She brought it back. I didn't think you needed it. I thought you were working. I didn't even know you were home. You know, oh my gosh, she feels bad enough. Now I'm going to just hammer her with it. Wow, so, you know, double attack. But I'm going to get a real apology, some tears out of her. Yeah, I can win somehow. That's poor ego, right? I'm not going to forgive, really. I mean, I'm going to milk it and hammer her with, I'm going to use forgiveness to make her feel a little more guilty. That's what I'm going to do with the ego's forgiveness. Because I'm going to milk it. Wow, this book is here to reverse that use of the word. Now the next paragraph. You ready, Carol? You going to read?
I just closed my book.
Okay, anybody else ready? David?
I got it. So it's six, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is sin's unreality that makes forgiveness natural and wholly sane.
And so just to be clear, you know, sin is a mistake. Sin is not an intentional thing. Sin is a miss. Sin is actually the idea of disconnection is real. The attack could be real. Okay. That's sin.
Why are they calling it sin in here and not a mistake?
Oh, well, it's a nice juicy word that keeps in there's a set of this
it's
book
a lightning
is
rod word.
Is, mm-hmm. It is a lightning rod word. Mm-hmm. There's about 24 words of this book so far. This book really redefines. And sin's one of them, and love is another one. And it catches the attention of it uses the Christian language, I think, as a set of words to work within. And I think it's pretty clever for me personally. I don't know about anybody else, really, but I was raised Catholic, Christian, went to catechism, and I had a problem with this whole sin and original sin thing. So for me personally, it works.
I wasn't raised with it, so it's like an archaic word.
It was written for me.
me three.
To heal my mind. That word, sin,
I get it.
Has a lot of meaning to me.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, Stephen.
Good night.
We're going to stop here in just a few minutes.
Sorry.
Okay, so you may finish.
Sin's unreality, the idea that there is a break, that something could happen to attack your happiness, that you could be a victim. That's what sin is. Sin is that idea. This course says there is no sin. But there's a pattern in your mind that's holding it to be true. Holding the idea that there is sin, and we're going to work with that. So really powerful there. It's sin's unreality that makes forgiveness natural and wholly sane. A deep relief to those who offer it, a quiet blessing where it's received. Please continue.
It is not countenance illusions, but collects them lightly with a little laugh and gently lays them at the feet of truth, and there they disappear entirely.
Just like that. Just like that.
I forgave a dog yesterday. I gave this terrier just rotten to the core, the terrier that I take care of. I forgave him for my misperception of his nature, her nature actually.
Yeah.
And I got a benefit from it today because the little snot got out again. and like she could be gone forever, and there's a lawsuit with the neighbor in the past year, and she just cost $400 because she lunged onto a stick in the vet and all that. And I just said, you know, Mary, I love you, but you can't be out here right now. This is not the place for you. And it confused her. And she stood still long enough for me to pick her up.
Broke the cycle.
I was able to pick her up without her struggling and just carry her back in. I didn't scream at her. I didn't reason with her. I just tried to project love, like, you are what you are, but really, I got to get a hold of you and bring you in.
And it was honest in that moment. It drops that attacking shield. And even the dog can read all. Of course, there's probably especially a dog, but humans, believe it or not, were even better than a dog at reading anger and fear in another human's face. The littlest micro movement of your lip line. I know what you're really thinking. That's a fake smile if I ever saw it. We call those things out. We can't. We're not very good actors. So the honesty really works.
It amused me to forgive the dog.
I love what you did. I love what you did.
Just cope with what this dog is.
Yeah, it's like so obvious.
Forgive you.
I forgive
Sorry
you.
Sorry for pinning so much shit on you.
For being you.
I think it's really interesting, the idea of like growing up or not being exposed to the word sin. And I'm grateful you brought that on, but the idea, because sin, I didn't grow up particularly Catholic, but it's there. But the idea of if you did something morally wrong, it sticks to you.
It's an unforgivable mistake.
It's like it sticks with you. It's part of it becomes.
Yeah.
It's like, remember, I think the book was written for Helen.
I love that because.
But it connects with me too. It's really interesting.
Let's have a circle.
Get up 401 in the lessons, though. Like, if people want to read more about forgiveness, I love the. I love that section. So
yes.
401 in the lesson.
Good. It's a whole page on just the word forgiveness. Take a deep breath. What are you connected to?
Right now, the floor.
You connected to the floor? What else is
everyone here?
Connected to each other's hands? Connected to the circle? Look at those hands! Sometimes we do this just to remind you that you're not really alone. We're cooperating here for a minute. Think about this word connected, will you, in your meditation tomorrow or tonight? Think about connected. Just come up with some of the things you are undeniably connected to. Come up with a little list of things that you're undeniably already connected to. And think about the bigger picture of connection from a spiritual perspective after that. After you see a little bit of the inevitableness of connection, A Course in Miracles says, ego just does not want to hear this. But the truth is, you are wholly dependent upon God. Now, God in this book just means what is. You've tried to not be part of what is. And it's costing you joy. Let us reconnect now. Just reconnect with what is. I'm not asking much. I'm asking a natural connection that were you to do nothing else would happen immediately. You would so see that how natural this is that you'd see the connection was already made. In fact, it's never been disconnected. Truth is one. Truth is whole. Truth is true. It was the idea of disconnection that made you feel out and alone. Connection is. It's asking very little, so little you're not willing to give it. To resume to the truth of what you really are. Well, thank you tonight for connecting with me and the rest of the group. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nice to see you.
Brother, we were super happy. It's a good one.
All right.
We're going to go down that little boxy valley there.
Oh, no. That's...